continue in our series on the miracles of Jesus. Today we want to see Jesus heal the servant of a certain centurion in the city of Capernaum, a centurion who demonstrated great faith in Jesus. In fact, let's start today by reading the very last verse, how the story ends. Verse number 9. It says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Jesus was amazed at the faith of this centurion. Another possible translation is he marveled. He marveled. What marvels Jesus? What amazes Jesus? Well, we actually only see two times in the Gospels where Jesus is amazed or marvels at something. And interesting, both of those times involve faith. The first time is the story we have this morning, where Jesus is amazed at the great faith of this centurion. The other time that we see Jesus amazed was actually at the lack of faith on the part of the people in his own hometown of Nazareth. In fact, listen as I read a small portion from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 4, that describes this other time in which he was amazed. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there. Again, he's talking about the city of Nazareth, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And then verse 6, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. You know, the people of Nazareth, they seem to be too familiar with Jesus, too comfortable with Jesus. They actually took Jesus for granted. They failed to see the special character of Jesus. They failed to see God's role of Jesus in the midst of God's people. And therefore, the people of Nazareth did not honor, did not embrace Jesus as they ought to have. They had all the advantages. In fact, Jesus had spent a great deal of time with them as he had grown up in that very village. But they failed to put their faith in him as the very Son of God. Jesus marveled at that. At the other end of the spectrum, we have now this Roman centurion who didn't have all the benefits of the people of Nazareth, yet this centurion demonstrated such great faith in Jesus. He honored and embraced Jesus, and he had faith that Jesus could bring healing to his servant. On the one side, the people of Nazareth, all the benefits, but lacking any kind of genuine faith response. On the other side, someone without the benefits of growing up with Jesus, of being familiar with the life of Jesus, demonstrating a great faith in what Jesus could do. This spectrum of responses, I would hope, would cause each one of us to reflect. Where would we fall on this spectrum? Are we people of great faith? Would Jesus marvel at our readiness to believe and to know that Jesus could handle any situation? Or are we people who are a little familiar with Jesus, a little accustomed to Jesus, having him around, and therefore we fail to see the power that Jesus could demonstrate amongst us if we had the kind of faith that this centurion had? Do we amaze Jesus? And if we do amaze Jesus, is it because of our great faith or because of our lack of faith? Well, before we return to Luke and the story of Jesus healing this centurion servant, let's review what a centurion is. As you know, the Romans had conquered much of the Mediterranean basin. They were kind of an occupying force at this time. Now, there were some areas, such as Galilee, where the Romans did allow certain families to continue to rule. The example we have in the scriptures is the Herodian family. And we see different members of the family of Herod throughout the New Testament. The first time we see one of the Herods, it's Herod the Great. He was king at the time that Jesus was born. In fact, he was the one who had all the babies of Bethlehem put to death because he came to understand that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. And then the next generation in the Herod family was ruling at the time of Jesus' public ministry. And then later on, we read in the book of Acts, the third generation of the Herod family ruling and having interactions with the Apostle Paul. In Galatians, the setting of our story this morning, we see this second generation of Herods. It was Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, he was the local king over Galilee. He was the Herod who had John the Baptist put to death. He was also the Herod that was seen at the trial of Jesus. Now, even though the Herod family ruled, the Romans still wanted a presence, even in Galilee. And so Roman troops would be found throughout the land under the command of a Roman military officer. And these Roman commanders were called centurions because they were in charge of 100 men or 100 troops. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and begin reading our story from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, we see in Luke chapter 6 that Jesus has just finished sharing a message with a large gathering of people. In fact, Luke chapter 6 seems to be Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. It says that Jesus entered Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is an important fishing village there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We saw this as their setting in our story a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was trying to address a large crowd of people there in Galilee, and he got into one of Simon Peter's boats and went off ashore a bit to address all the crowd there. Capernaum was also the hometown of Peter and Andrew, James and John, a lot of the fishermen who became followers and disciples of Jesus. After the city of Nazareth rejected Jesus, he kind of departed from Nazareth and he made Capernaum his kind of his own adopted home. Going on now, verse 2. There a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. It says here that this centurion heard about Jesus. Well, if he lived in Galilee, it would be expected that he would hear about Jesus. It seems as though many people had heard about Jesus and many people had been gathering to hear Jesus. Again, the story there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Luke chapter 6, we saw the great multitude of people hearing the message of Jesus. People all around Galilee were hearing about Jesus. They were going to Jesus. They were being healed by Jesus. The people of Galilee were very welcoming and embracing of Jesus. And this centurion had heard about Jesus, and he had a need. He had a servant who was ill, a servant who was about to die. And this centurion knew that Jesus was his only hope. He knew that Jesus could heal his servant. He had faith. He had faith in the healing power of Jesus. Now, this particular story is told in two different Gospels. We read the story in the Gospel of Luke, which is our story today that we're reading from. The story is also told in the Gospel of Matthew. And there's one difference between Luke and Matthew. In Luke's Gospel, the centurion and Jesus never meet face to face, but talk to each other through either friends sent from the centurion or elders sent from the Jewish elders. The elders go there on his behalf. In Matthew's Gospel, the impression you get is that the centurion and Jesus did meet face to face. I say that because as we continue with our story, and you see the slides that I'm using this morning, it shows the centurion and Jesus meeting and having this conversation. But as we read through Luke's Gospel, it seems to indicate that the conversation took place through others. So, from Luke's Gospel, we do see that the centurion seems to feel that he himself is unworthy to come to Jesus. So, in Luke's Gospel, as the story is told, the Jewish elders came to Jesus. And who were the Jewish elders? They were the local Jewish rulers there in Galilee. Now, they were different than the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. We talked about the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem last week. And if you recall, the leaders in Jerusalem seemed to be opposed to Jesus. They did not embrace him or welcome him. Well, the local rulers here in Galilee, they do seem to be welcoming of Jesus. In fact, they were even willing to go to Jesus on behalf of this Roman centurion to plead his case before Jesus. They even indicate that Jesus ought to help this centurion, granting the healing for his servant. Listen to what they say to Jesus. Reading on, now beginning at verse 4. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. The key word there is because. What's interesting about the case that they present to Jesus is the perspective that it reveals. In the thinking of these Jewish elders, Jesus ought to grant the request of this Roman centurion because the man deserves it. He's done so many good things for the Jewish people. He has even helped build the Jewish synagogue there in the city of Capernaum. The image we have on the screen now is the actual archaeological remains of the synagogue in Capernaum. If you were to go there, you would find this displayed as an example of what early synagogues would look like. Now, before we move on, we want to note something that's very important. This is not the synagogue that was there when Jesus was walking in the streets of Galilee. This was actually built a very short time later, but it still represents what a synagogue would look like in the time of Jesus. So let's get back to the Jewish perspective. From their perspective, the centurion deserved Jesus to heal his servant. This is because, from the Jewish perspective, the religious life is often seen as kind of an external thing, the things that we would do. If one does all the good things, then one stands before God deserving. one who does good things, they're somehow owed something. Now, before we get too critical about this perspective seen in the Jewish elders of Galilee, we need to be careful and check our own attitude or thoughts about this very same principle. Do we sometimes feel that we are deserving because of all that we do or all that we say or all that we give? It's a common mindset of so many people. If you live the good life, if you are generous with others, if you give to worthy causes, if you attend church often and participate in charitable activities, hey, you're deserving of a little recognition, maybe a few benefits. This is what these Jewish elders from Galilee thought. Do sometimes we hold on to that same mindset? Jewish elders thought the centurion was deserving because he had built or helped to build their synagogue. Now, you may know synagogues were the local houses of prayer and worship found throughout the land. Whenever there was a Jewish community, a synagogue would often be built as a place to gather together. Now, this particular synagogue, the one in this location, again, the image shows the one was built during the 2nd century, but the first one was there in that same place. Jesus was familiar with that very synagogue in the city of Capernaum. In fact, Jesus had been attending a synagogue service in Capernaum when a man who had an evil spirit came in and disrupted the service. You read that story in Luke chapter 4, Jesus responded to this disruption by casting the evil spirit out of the man who was in that service. Apparently, the centurion who was now asking Jesus for this request had built that synagogue. Because he had been given so much money to this local synagogue, the elders of the town thought that he was deserving of some special recognition. He deserved Jesus to do this favor for him. Again, by point of application, do we sometimes hold to a mindset that if we maybe give a great deal of money to an organization, maybe the church even, that we're somehow deserving of recognition and preference? Again, be careful and think in terms of what is it that God looks upon? What is it that God is most interested in? Why would a Roman centurion give money to build a local Jewish synagogue? Well, this centurion appears to be what is called in the New Testament a God-fearer. Throughout the story of the New Testament and into the book of Acts, we see God fears. He himself was not Jewish, but he was attracted to, he was drawn to the God of the Jews, the God of the Bible. He recognized that there was something special, something unique about the God of the Bible that he did not see in all the gods of Rome, the gods he had been raised in. He wasn't a Jew himself. He didn't want to take that final step and become Jewish, but he was drawn to the God of the Bible. He honored the Jewish people, and it says in our story today, he even helped to build their synagogue. How did Jesus respond to the request on the part of these Jewish leaders coming in behalf of the Roman centurion? Well, we find the response of Jesus in the first five words of verse 6, Jesus went with them. That's it, five words. Jesus went with them. What is significant here is what Jesus did not say and what Jesus did not do. Jesus was asked to help, and he immediately responded by going with them to help. He didn't raise any questions about the situation. He didn't challenge the nature or the perspective of this request. We already have noted that this request had grown out of a rather external perspective, or a rather external understanding of what the religious life meant to these Jewish leaders. The Jewish elders told Jesus that this centurion deserved this favor because he had done so many good things in his life. Jesus doesn't stop and have a discussion with these Jewish leaders about how this particular perspective was wrong. Now, there are other places in the Gospels where Jesus does stop and shares with the people how God wants his relationship with the people to be based on our internal response to God, our internal attitude toward God, and not upon the external doing of religious activities. But here, Jesus doesn't feel that this was the time to stop and make this important point with these Jewish elders. A request for healing had come. Jesus responds immediately. He doesn't interject conditions for his response. He doesn't offer up any ifs or buts. He meets the need at that moment. And here's the wonderful news for us. This is how Jesus still operates in our lives. He will respond to our needs, our desires, immediately as we come to him in faith, believing that Jesus is able and willing to bring healing and hope into our situation. Jesus went with them. I hope this also characterizes our response. When we hear about a need, when we're called upon to respond in love to someone else, I trust that we do not respond with ifs or buts or excuses about why we cannot help. Instead, I hope we follow the example of Jesus to go immediately. I hope that we are not the ones that would raise questions and or challenge the worthiness of the people who are asking for help. Rather, let us follow the example of Jesus. So Jesus went with them. While Jesus was going to meet this need, word comes from the centurion. Let's read on now, beginning at verse 6. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed." What we see in these words of the centurion was a very different perspective than we saw about this matter from the Jewish elders. Remember, the Jewish elders saw the centurion as deserving because of all that he had done. The centurion, on the other hand, saw himself as undeserving because of who he was. I think the centurion had a much better sense of his standing before God. The centurion came to understand who he really was in light of who God really was. Just last Wednesday, our Wednesday night study, on Isaiah, talked about the story of Isaiah having his vision of God. And when he saw God, he fell to his knees and declared, "I am unworthy. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips." We also saw in the story of Peter on the boat, in the great catch of fish, when Peter came to recognize who Jesus really was, Peter fell to his knees and said, "Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man." We see that same attitude reflected in our centurion this morning. This reminds us of the story of the two men praying in the temple found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus goes on, "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The mindset of the Pharisee in this story, I think, is more reflected in the perspective of the Jewish elders there in the city of Galilee. The mindset of the tax collector is seen in the perspective of the centurion. Well, what do we think? What's our perspective when it comes to deserving or not deserving the help and the healing of Jesus in our lives? Would we be more like the centurion or more like the Jewish elders? The elders were approaching this situation with the mindset that the centurion deserved something. The centurion approached with a mindset of faith and humility. You see this great faith on the part of the centurion reflected in his comment, "But say the word, and my servant will be healed." See, he understood that Jesus could heal his servant by just speaking the word. This centurion is a God-fearer. He understood that the God of the Bible was a God who was able to speak into existence all of creation. That was described in Genesis chapter 1. This centurion also knew that Jesus was sent by God and had authority to simply speak healing over anyone that he desired to heal. The story was still being told in the city of Capernaum of how Jesus was able to heal the son of the royal official by just speaking the words. We talked about this story a couple of weeks ago. Jesus was in Cana of Galilee. The son of a royal official was dying in Capernaum, miles away. Jesus spoke the word, and he was healed. The centurion remembered this incident and humbly asked Jesus to speak healing over his servant in the very same way. It seems as though the Jewish elders didn't have that same confidence. And so they felt it was important to plead the case of this centurion before Jesus, arguing how the centurion deserved it. The centurion understood that he was not worthy or deserving before Jesus. However, he, in great faith, still called upon Jesus for help. I hope each of us, again, is more like this centurion, recognizing that we are not deserving, but still calling in faith upon Jesus to bring healing and hope into our lives. Let's finish our story and draw out some final principles. The centurion goes on with his explanation, reading now from verse 8. "For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This centurion recognized authority when he encountered it. See, soldiers, they understand how to give orders, how to receive orders. This centurion knew that when he issued an order, the men under his command would obey it. He also knew that if Jesus commanded his servant to be healed, the servant would be healed. This centurion both recognized and trusted in Jesus' authority. Jesus marveled at that faith, and he healed his son. Jesus had not found such great faith, even in Israel. I think we can take this reference to Israel in its broadest sense. Jesus had not seen such great faith in the many people that he had encountered and interacted with in Galilee and in Judea. He had not found such great faith in the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem or in Galilee. And listen now, he did not find such great faith even in his own disciples. We find a few stories in the Gospels where Jesus is frustrated over the lack of faith demonstrated by his own disciples. Where do you think our faith would appear on the radar from Jesus' perspective? Would our faith be like that of the Jewish elders from Galilee? Would our faith be like the very disciples of Jesus? Or would our faith be like this Roman centurion? Jesus marveled over the faith found in the centurion. He was amazed at a faith in this one who felt unworthy, understood that he was undeserving, yet he humbly asked Jesus for help in faith, knowing that Jesus would bring such healing. What would Jesus think about our faith? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this Jesus that you sent to walk with us, to speak with us, to heal us. Father, you want us to put our faith and trust in the great power and the great ministry of Jesus. Father, help us to be like this centurion, having such great faith, knowing who Jesus is and knowing who we are, and coming to Jesus, pouring out our needs, our hopes, our desires before his throne. Father, help us to grow in our faith, letting our faith exceed that even of the disciples of Jesus and become more and more like this centurion over whom Jesus says, "I have not found such great faith." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.